Hello, and welcome to a searchdatamanagement.com podcast on in-memory databases. This is Craig Stedman, executive editor of searchdatamanagement.com, as well as searchbusinessanalytics.com. I'll be talking today with William McKnight, president of McKnight Consulting Group, about in-memory database trends and issues to consider in weighing deployments of in-memory software. William works as a strategist, lead enterprise information architect, and program manager for clients worldwide, with a focus on data warehousing, business intelligence, big data, and master data management projects. Thanks for joining me in the virtual podcast studio, William.
Thank you, Craig. It's great to be here.
All right. So in-memory databases have been around for a long time, but largely as a niche technology for specialized uses. Is that still the case today?
Well, it's growing in growing outside of its former niches, and I'm not sure how to put my finger on what those niches were, because today it's a much more generalized use case for in-memory. It's basically whenever you have a need for very high levels of performance, whenever you're able to take on the increased levels of performance that you're going to get from in-memory. And that covers quite a wide range of applications. I would actually say performance is the number one key to success for most applications. And so it's just become a much more general purpose type of technology in information management.
All right. Maybe you could give some examples of kinds of applications that are a good fit for in-memory databases.
Well, I can give some examples of where they are deployed today quite a bit. For example, in SAP, you have the BW component, which is the data mart that hangs off of SAP. SAP is pushing that very, very strongly to be on HANA, which is its all-in-memory machine, and they're getting some reception on that. And so we are seeing a lot of BWs being deployed in memory. We are seeing a lot of the even SAP reporting being offloaded to in-memory systems. So kind of it's surrounding the whole SAP ecosystem, and the next big push is going to be for SAP itself to be running on HANA. Now, of course, HANA is not just for the SAP environment. It's for other things as well, and they do have programs to get those other things up and running on SAP that might be, you know, third-party products and that sort of thing. So it's really anywhere where in memory or where the performance really matters. I've seen it on targeted marketing systems that are trying to make a very quick next best offer. Seen it on fraud systems that are you know, obviously trying to make some quick decisions around events and things like that. So, again, I think we're going to see it's going to be right there alongside the traditional relational systems, whether it's on the operational side or your data warehouses and data marts on the analytical side of things. I think you're going to see in-memory as a storage option whenever performance matters.
You mentioned HANA, SAP HANA. I was wondering whether HANA and Oracle's Exalytics in-memory appliances are changing the nature of what in-memory database technology can be used for. And also, are you seeing much uptake on those devices from customers yet, or are they still in the early adopter stage at this point?
Well, still early adopter, Craig. I mean, I would say there, when I look at where it can go, there's still a long way to go. And I think that we're going to see, you know, upwards of 30 to 40% over the course of the next 5 to 8 years of databases that are going to be in memory as it gets cheaper, as we learn about ways to exploit it, as we get more intelligent about in-memory. So I'm talking about in-memory being a capability alongside maybe HDD and SSD as storage alternatives for data. So maybe we'll see some temperature sensing within databases and some you know, appropriate allocation of data according to its temperature to the right medium for it. So not only are we picking an environment and picking up front, you know, what the HDD, what the SSD, what the in-memory will be on that system, we're guesstimating, but we're also trusting that these systems are going to deploy appropriately within there. So, yes, I definitely think that HANA has raised the awareness of the possibilities of in-memory. We didn't think about in-memory as being, you know, cost-effective enough to handle some of the things I mentioned before, but certainly we're finding that it is in selected situations, and it, you know, the price should come down, and it should also find its way into other applications as a result of that.
Right. There's also been increasing uptake on in-memory analytics tools, things like ClickView or Tableau or Spotfire. Is the growth of those kinds of tools in general boosting the use of in-memory databases as well, or are those two different product categories that don't necessarily go hand in hand?
I think of them as different. Of course, they work on in-memory systems, in-memory databases, that is. They work on non-in-memory, right? And they will utilize memory to make that side of the query run a lot faster. So you have both sides, right? And primarily what's going to make the overall environment perform where you have the most leverage is back on the database side of things. And so that's why I'm thinking that we really want to focus there on in-memory. And if the tools utilize in-memory, that's great. They're cost-effective. They look great, great UIs. Users love it. That's all fine. But I see them as separate.
Do in-memory databases have a role to play in big data environments?
Well, that's an interesting question. It all kind of depends on what you call big data, right? If big data are systems for NoSQL databases, if they're systems that have scaled beyond the relational world into the NoSQL world for whatever reason, then I would say no, because right now the in-memory systems are relational systems. And so you still are bounded by relational limitations, I would say, around what you put in these in-memory systems. You're also obviously bounded by cost. So, are you going to put a petabyte in in-memory today? No, you definitely are not. So there's some upper ceiling on in-memory deployment, and, we can argue about where that is. It depends on the workload, but, certainly there's a point at which no, you definitely want to stick with systems that are less expensive. Again, you have to look at the workload and look at ROI. Don't use arbitrary data size things. You have to look at the workload, not only where it is, but where it's going in order to make these kinds of decisions.
All right, last question. What are some of the considerations that IT managers and their teams should take into account in weighing possible deployments of in-memory database software?
There's so much on the table right now for these people, and I support them, and I run independent evaluations, of course, and I just know that there's just so much on the table. You not only have relational systems, you've got your NoSQL, you've got your appliances, maybe you put it into streams, maybe you need columnar, maybe you need hybrid columnar, maybe you need to put some things in the cloud, as an added dimension of complexity. In all this, actually, over time, that's going to make things a little bit easier. But the point is, there's a lot of decisions out there. And so I think you take your workloads and you figure out which platform category that it goes into, and then you start thinking more about the options within that category, and then the storage options within your selection. It's not a linear path, but it's kind of a general path that you take on this journey. And again, I'm going to put out there that you have to consider the intelligence around the memory. Is it going to use the memory appropriately in terms of the hottest data? Is all the data hot? You are trying to provide the best return on investment. And do not, if you assume that how much data can be stored at what cost is the metric, and accounting loves to do this, right? Then you'll never deploy in memory. That is not the metric. That is absolutely not the metric. The metric has to be something like the cost of processing, or the cost of storage per. And then you have to add some time category of for data access on there. So that's where that's how they have to think. That's where they have to go.
Well, that's an interesting point because, memory costs obviously have come down substantially from where they used to be. But is it still the case that it's not a low cost way of storing data necessarily?
Absolutely. You have to look at things as not, you're not going to put cold data, in memory is horrible for cold storage. But if you're actually using the data, you start to talk. Then we start to determine if in memory is going to be right for the performance equation. But yes, of course, it's still very costly.
Right. Compared to disk storage.
Compared to disk storage.
All right. Well, we'll end it with that. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and advice with our listeners, William.
Sure thing, Craig.
And thanks to you for listening in. To learn more about McKnight Consulting Group, you can go to www.mcknightcg.com. That's McKnight is spelled McKnight, and cg.com. And you can find more tips, analysis, and information on databases, data warehousing, analytics, business intelligence, and data management technologies and topics on searchbusinessanalytics.com and searchdatamanagement.com. This is Craig Stedman signing off.